Thank you, Alpha and the worship team. Greetings, family and friends. Good to see all of you here today, as well as those online. Now, before we start, let us have a word of prayer. Come, will you join me in prayer? May the words of my mouth and the meditation of all our hearts be acceptable to you, O Lord, our God and our Redeemer. Amen. Today, we continue with the series, Our Mission, Bless, Bridge, and Catalyze. I would like to begin by reading a portion from the devotional journal, week 2, Our Mission, Be a Bridge. It says, a bridge in a theological sense may be used to symbolize the restored connection between God and humanity. Being a bridge for others means serving as a connection or mediator between God and those who are alienated from God by helping them draw nearer to God. Romans 5:8 reminds us that because God loves us so much, He sent His only begotten Son, Jesus, to die on the cross, such that we may be reconciled to God. Jesus Christ serves as the bridge between sinners and God, offering salvation and reconciliation. And Jesus declared in John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. And establishing himself as the exclusive path and connection to God. And as listed in the journal, we can do a few things to help others cross the bridge by building relationship, sharing our faith and testimony, inviting and including others, as well as answering questions. I think most of you who have come across the idea of the gospel bridge, where one side is God and the other side is man, and Jesus being the bridge. We are also familiar with the concept of going out to preach the gospel, like what we have observed with the apostles, Wesley, Whitefield, as well as Billy Graham. Today, though, I'd like to share a slightly different aspect of welcoming people to the gospel and how we can act as a bridge in that process. Now, the scripture for today is taken from Acts 28:30-31, and it reads, He lived there 2 whole years at his own expense and welcomed all who came to him, proclaiming the kingdom of God and teaching about Lord Jesus Christ with all boldness and without hindrance. This is the word of God. Thanks be to God. Now, these two verses in the books of Acts, Paul is in Rome after his trial in Jerusalem. He is awaiting a case before Caesar. Interestingly, he is relatively free, lives on his own, and can continue to proclaim the kingdom of God and Jesus. We can also see that instead of large-scale mass preaching of the gospel, he still managed to preach a bit small scale to those who came to visit him. This is what I mean by welcoming people to the gospel. Now, we can think of ourselves and our task on a smaller scale as welcoming and helping others to come to the bridge and to walk alongside them crossing the bridge, or simply to guide them across the bridge. With this in mind, I would like to ask the question, in these two photos, which bridge would you be prepared to cross? Well, if you are into extreme sports or an IG thrill seeker who wants to have a photo of your conquest or achieve a difficult task as part of a confident course like me, you will pick the first one. But for most of us, the answer is the second, because that looks and feels safe and welcoming. In what ways, then, can we help others feel safe and welcoming while they approach the gospel bridge? Those of us who serve alongside Louis Luke will know his favorite phrase, which is world class. That's right. You know him well. I like to borrow this phrase, and the title of today's sharing is our mission: be a world class guide across the bridge. Now, what are some of the world class mindset that we need to have in respect to providing a bridge to the gospel? First point, world-class hospitality. This means providing a world-class welcome and user experience. How important is hospitality in the Bible? Well, I like to read Genesis 18:2-7 about Abraham's hospitality. And it reads, verse 2, he lifted his eyes and looked, and behold, three men were standing in front of him. When he saw them, he ran from the tent door to meet them and bowed himself to the earth and said, O Lord, if I have found favor in your sight, do not pass by your servant. Let a little water be brought and wash your feet and rest yourselves under the tree while I bring a morsel of bread that you may refresh yourselves. After that, you may pass on, since you have come to your servant. So they said, do as you have said. And Abraham went quickly into the tent to Sarah and said, quick, 3 sets of fine flour, knead it and make cakes. And Abraham ran to the herd and took a calf, tender and good, and gave it to the young man, who prepared it quickly. I must admit, I laugh a bit when I remember that Abraham was almost 100 years old and he was running around to demonstrate hospitality. Now, some may say this is the custom of the time to show hospitality, but we should also note that these are strangers and not family members. Welcoming guests was of such great importance. If you think the idea of welcoming guests was less important than during the New Testament period, let me read what the Bible writers of Hebrew in the New Testament says. Hebrews 13:2. Abraham was, of course, alluding to Abraham's experience and admonishes his hearers to do not neglect hospitality, for by this some have unknowingly hosted angels. What then can we learn in a church setting like us, like ours? I'd like to borrow some thoughts from the book by Pastor Ivan Tan, Hospitality and the Growing Church. Can I have the slide? Yes, this is the book. This book arose from the reflection of Reverend Ivan Tan on the growth of Living Hope Methodist Church as the church practiced hospitality during the COVID-19 years. Now, Living Hope Methodist Church is also our sister tract church, which is also in the same district as us, District 2. In 2020 and 2021, during the COVID period, Living Hope Methodist Church had the fastest membership growth among tract churches, and Pastor Ivan Tan was the pastor in charge. He is currently with Fairfield Methodist Church, by the way. Now, this book seeks to help churches flourish as welcoming community and provides a framework of thinking about hospitality theologically and working out how that can be practiced at a local church level. Now, in case you wonder how Living Hope Methodist Church looks like, here's a photo from Google. All right. Now, here are some of his main thoughts from the book. First, hospitality simply involves welcoming guests and making them feel at home. Now, the Greek word for hospitality is philoxenia. It is made up of two words. Philo, the love of brothers and sisters, and xenos, meaning strangers or foreigner. Thus, hospitality means loving strangers and foreigners as our brothers and sister. Second, a welcoming community. The church had for many years been supporting organizations and agencies in the community, caring for seniors, families, children, and youth, as well as prisoners and families, something like ours. This did not directly account for church rapid growth. This involvement only brought a small number to the church. Pastor Ivan believes that the main reason for the growth was that the church was becoming conscious and the need to welcome everyone the Lord has sent her. Third point, a genuine love of hospitality is not done instrumentally. What does this mean? It means not practicing it with ulterior motive, such as gaining favor of one's guest or even converting them to Christian faith immediately. Rather, it's an expression of our love for our visitor and ultimately for our Lord. Fourth, a meal is the most natural setting for hospitality to take place. Meals need not be extravagant. They can be simple and humble. Even a takeaway packet of chicken rice can be a shared meal. This is similarly to the hospitality shown by many contemporary Asian community and their ancient counterpart. Pastor Ivan quoted scholar Dr. Christine Poe, and this is the quote. The practice of hospitality almost always includes eating together. Next point. Welcome your neighbors. Celebrate your diversity and engage with other faith community. Take the initiative to meet and show hospitality. Where the opportunity presents itself, work together with them to foster understanding and build trust. Next, work with other churches when we have opportunity. Local church often think of themselves as individual faith community. We forget that God's kingdom is bigger than us. We have brothers and sisters in other local churches as well. Lastly, be real people. It means to be authentic people, not pretending to be more than what we are or they are. Now, these are some of the highlights that I picked up. I would like to commend this book to your further reading. If you would like to get a copy of the book, you can also approach me and you can arrange a bulk purchase if there's a significant number of you. Now, first reflection question. What specific action can you take to make people feel welcome? Let me repeat for those in cell group who may be interested to take this as a reflection question. And it says, what specific action can you take to make people feel welcome? Right, second point on our mission to be a world-class guide across the bridge is we need to have a world-class program. This means providing a world-class befriending environment to share the gospel. It means to walk alongside those who are interested in crossing the bridge. We should also continue to pay attention, though, to the first point, hospitality. At this juncture, I need to clarify those who had come to hear Jesus and his preaching in the gospel, as well as those who might have been present with Paul in the books of Acts. Now, in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus welcomed a diverse group of people. We often think that these are people who feel deeply burdened by sin and needed repentance. Well, that is not an accurate picture. Those whom Jesus welcomed include those poor in spirit. These are the ones who feels that their earthly desires are of no value and wants to be guided by God. These are the ones that went to John the Baptist to be baptized. Next, those who are meek. Dr. Amy Jill Levine has this to say. Meek in the Beatitude does not mean insignificant compared to you On the contrary, a meek person is someone with great authority, but does not lord it over others. A meek person promotes servant leadership. This is like Cornelius, a centurion, that asked his servant to look for Peter in Acts 11. Next class of people, those who feel persecuted for righteousness' sake. These are the ones who are always champion the causes and for justice for the poor and marginalized, but are persecuted for it. You can say that these are the ones who pursue true righteousness or righteous that I previously shared. These are like the Old Testament prophets. I think these are more likely the profile of the people that Paul would have welcomed. After the welcome, Paul did what he did best, that is, proclaiming the kingdom of God and teaching about the Lord Jesus. Now, I use the term world class as the main theme. Let us define it a bit. Now, our mental picture of world class is likely to be something expensive and comes with full service hospitality. And since we are all foodies, we love food here in Singapore, right? Let us consider what is world class in the food and beverage industry. How do you consider a food establishment as having achieved world class standard? Well, we think of Michelin Award, or how many Michelin stars it has. And it usually means expensive restaurants. But lest we forget, in Singapore, we used to have the cheapest one-star Michelin meal, Hawker Chan. Not promoting for him, by the way. Now, for our purpose then, world-class means recognized worldwide, good quality and consistent over time, gives an impactful impression, and lastly, in our case, also biblical. Do we run such a world-class program here at AMKMC? Yes, Taste of Alpha, which we leverage from the original 10-course Alpha program, is open to everyone, believer and pre-believer alike. It's free, and it's designed to let people think and talk about the Christian faith at their own pace. It is an opportunity to explore the meaning of life in a non-threatening way and friendly environment. For our AMKMC version, Taste of Alpha is a shortened version from 10 weeks to 5 weeks. Now, what is in the typical Alpha session like? Well, first up, there is good food. Food has always a way of bringing people together, as I mentioned. It's no different for us at Taste of Alpha. It's a great way to build community and get to know one another. You will have a 2-course meal and 3-course high tea. Second, a video. Each video is designed to engage and inspire conversation. It usually lasts less than 30 minutes and comes with a very catchy footage. They explore the big issues around faith and unpack the basis of Christianity, addressing questions such as, why am I here? Where am I heading? Is there more to life than this? How can we have faith? And who is Jesus? Now after this, is followed by a conversation. The most important and fun part of Alpha is the chance to share thoughts, testimony, and ideas on the topic, and simply discuss these thoughts and questions in a small group. It is an opportunity to hear from others and contribute your perspective in an honest, friendly, and open environment. The motto is, ask any question. Now, for those who have joined us for a period of time and feel that something is missing, or knows of a friend who finds something is missing in life, please join us in a Taste of Alpha, which is starting in early April. In summary, Alpha means food and video, followed by a conversation. You can be a guide to those who may want to find out the meaning of life, as God intended in this way. to show the good news that Jesus is the bridge and that he is fully connected to God and into the life and love of God. At this point, some of you may point out, doesn't Taste of Alpha sounds like our Easter outreach makan and movie? Yes! Therefore, you can also sign up and invite your friends for our movie and makan on 23rd of March as a start. Some of you who are in cell group may also wonder if you can run Alpha at a small group level. And the answer is, yes, you can. In fact, our sister track church, Faith Methodist, is doing this, and it's called Life Group Alpha. Let me know if your cell group is interested to explore this. Now, here's another reflection question. Can you think of someone you are connected with that you can invite to learn more about God? Let me repeat. Can you think of someone you are connected with that you can invite to learn more about God? Third point for today, world-class community. This means a place that they can call home and engage in lifelong discipleship. Now, there's a prevalent misconception that the Bible presentation ends with the sinner's prayer, or how Dallas Willard described it as the gospel of sin management. Dallas put it this way in his book, Divine Conspiracy. Quote, history has brought us to the point where the Christian message is thought to be concerned only with how to deal with sin, with wrongdoing or wrong being and its effect. Life, our actual existence, is not included in what is presented as the heart of the Christian message or is included only marginally. Unquote. The truth is that our task does not end when one accepts Jesus as Lord and Savior. It is the start of a lifelong journey of friendship and discipleship. A common misconception is that the Bible verse on the Great Commission, Matthew 28:18-20, is synonymous with evangelism. The truth is, it is more about discipleship. It is best interpreted as you are going, make disciples. Now, becoming disciples of Christ does not dissolve all the problems and addresses all the problems, questions about life. We live in a community and discover the true purpose of our being. We help answer the tough question together and equip ourselves to answer questions that others may have. Ultimately, this happens when we find a home. I like to share part of the lyrics of the song Home by Dick Lee and Kit Chan that we're all familiar with. And it says, this is home, surely, as my senses tell me. This is where I won't be alone, for this is where I know is home. Now, I would like at this point to share the journey of our newest staff, but I shall not reveal his name. You will figure out in the coming weeks. In the not-too-distant past, 2011 to be exact, he was posted to Bowen Secondary School after his PSLE. Of all the CCA available, he chose BB, or Boys Brigade. Sounds familiar with last week, right? No, this is a different person. If you ask him why BB caught his attention, exciting activities. And if you do not know, by now, AMKMC supports 31st Koi Company at Bowen Secondary School. And by the way, BB is also a world-class program. It also happens to be the oldest youth uniform group in the world. I need to do a little marketing right now for BB. We hope you can contribute to the annual BB Week donation drive starting this week. You'll see some of them out there. Now, back to the story of our new staff. Through mentorship by BB officers, he was encouraged to join our staff, our church service here at AMKMC. If you are wondering, did he immediately accept Jesus as Lord and Savior? The answer is no. However, the BB Fellowship and his service were instrumental in bringing him to God. And on Good Friday 2014, 3 years later, he accepted Jesus as Lord and Savior. His journey in Christ had just started. He continued his service in BB and also our youth ministry. And among the many roles he took up include being a BB primer and officer at his old school. He also became an assistant cell group leader and finally a cell group leader. He also went on mission trips. Apart from this, he was nominated by a church to the Youth Trackers program, as well as YMLC, Young Methodist Leaders Conference. After 2 years working in the business world, he'll be joining our pastoral staff from tomorrow. To him, AMKMC and BB are home. A place where the lyrics say, as my senses tell me, this is where I won't be alone, for this is where I know is home. Yes, a world-class community begins where one has a powerful sense of belonging, and this is where discipleship begins. Reflection question. How can your experience of God in your life enable, encourage you to bridge as a bridge for others? Let me repeat. How can your experience of God in your life enable and encourage you to be a bridge for others? What is next for us here in AMKMC, where we can be on our mission to be a world-class guide across the bridge? Well, I see multiple opportunities. The first opportunity is our upcoming new neighbors, Block 246 and the AMO condominium project. The countdown has begun for us as our neighbors will be moving in starting from 1Q 2025, 1 year. We will need to put in place a 3 to 5 year plan to reach out to them, not on an ad hoc basis, but continuously. We can explore with our various ministry to publicize our program and talks to the community, include those who have not come to our church to be part of our social enrichment activities. And of course, we can also display timetable of church services beyond the internet. We can also explore about publicizing Taste of Alpha and Life Group Alpha if any of the cell group is interested in taking this up. There's also a second opportunity. These are our secondary students in our tuition program as well as BB. Now, I agree with our brother Kelvin Lim, who is our witness and evangelism chair. He assesses that we need to catch this group with the gospel in their youth. We can explore regular games events such as e-sports, student study areas on weekdays, additional tuition subject on weekdays beside our regular Wednesday and Thursday, and perhaps Alpha for Youth. All this opportunity requires resources and commitment. So what we need? Volunteers, or I would rather use the term co-laborers, those with specific skill, as well as those with a heart for a specific group. I like to close with this familiar verse, Matthew 9:37-38. It reads, the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into the harvest. Come, will you join me in prayer? Holy Spirit, speak to each one of us as we reflect on being a world-class guide across the bridge. Lord, we pray that as we reflect on the sharing today, we will recognize that you are the Lord of the harvest. Let us remember to practice hospitality, and that you will open our hearts to see our purpose here as we welcome others to the gospel. Let us use our programs to bring others who are connected with us to the gospel. Let us remember that we are a community, and this is where we can call home. We believe that the purpose behind our participation will also result in the sharing of the gospel of your kingdom and about Jesus. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.